of SDLC's National Forest and Parks Program. So Sarah's going to say a few introductory remarks about today's announcement and then also turn it over to the rest of the speakers.
Good morning, everyone. Thanks for joining us. As you all know, today the Forest Service released its decision on the new long-term management plan for the George Washington National Forest. And these management plans make a number of decisions about the management of the forest for the next 10 to 15 years. One of the decisions that the Forest Service makes in the forest plan is whether to make the forest available for gas leasing and drilling. And as we all know, national forests are not national parks. The Forest Service can make the forest, can make national forest lands available for gas drilling. Here, the Forest Service made a good decision that recognizes that our special George Washington National Forest is not appropriate for industrial gas development. This decision makes almost the entire forest unavailable for oil and gas leasing. The decision does not affect the previously existing gas leases to the forest and the private mineral rights to the forest. And I'm going to come back to that and talk more about that in just a minute. But first, I also want to say, and you'll hear more from the other folks on this call about this, we think this decision shows that the Forest Service listened to the local community, to the local citizens, and the local governments around the forest that felt strongly that the GW is not appropriate for industrial gas development. This forest is an important source of drinking water supplies. It's a special place for locals and for visitors, for recreation, for hiking and camping and hunting and fishing. And it's really the backdrop to the farms and the rural communities in and around the Shenandoah Valley. We think this decision shows that the Forest Service listened to the local community in making this decision. I said that I would come back to kind of the nuts and bolts of what the decision is, and I want to say more about that because I think there's a lot of confusion out there about the decision. As I said, the Forest Service made the GW unavailable for gas leasing and drilling, except for the very small amount of the forest that already was subject to a gas lease or where the oil and gas rights already were privately owned. About 10,000 acres of the forest was leased several years ago, and there's about 167,000 acres that are subject to private mineral rights. That's about 16% of the forest. But the vast majority of the forest is protected in this decision. That's a quick overview of what the decision is. And we'll be happy to take more questions about that. As I said, the forest is, I think this decision protects the existing uses and the existing resources on the forest for drinking water supplies, for fish and wildlife habitat, for recreation, and the important and special role that the forest plays in the local community.
Conference recording started.
In the Shenandoah Valley and the surrounding mountains. And the other folks on this call will talk more about that. Megan, would you like to go ahead? Megan, we can't hear you yet. Hang on. Megan, would you like to go ahead?
Oh, here we go. Sorry. This is Megan Gallagher from the Shenandoah Valley Network. I'm the interim director there. And I'm here to introduce you to some local perspectives and local leaders who can talk about this decision. But first, it's important to point out that the future of the George Washington was always of tremendous local concern, in part because it represents so large a part of some of these counties. In Augusta County, it's 29% of all the land. In Rockingham, it's 24% of all the land. The issue of energy development on the forest didn't emerge until 2010, when there was a private well proposal, the first fracking well in Virginia's Marcellus Shale in Rockingham County. That project and the private land leases are now gone and dead. But in context, the issue of energy development, particularly shale gas drilling, was a huge surprise to the Valley because there is no history of major oil or gas or development there. This would have been a new industry. It would have introduced some significant conflicts with the existing farming, forestry, and recreation sectors and the priorities of local governments, as well as the heritage and the culture there. It's important to point out that not one local government had a land use plan or an economic development plan that embraced the oil and gas drilling industry. So, in fact, this final management plan rightly does heed local wishes by protecting the unspoiled lands in the GW. I would like to introduce three people to you today, and they're just going to hand off to one another. In Rockingham County, we have Kim Sandham, the Executive Director of the Community Alliance for Preservation, and she'll talk about impacts from industrialization and potentially recreation and tourism. Nancy Sorrells is a former county supervisor in Augusta County who currently serves on the Augusta County Water Authority Board. And she'll be followed by Bobby Robert Weitz-Carver of Weitz-Carver Natural Resources Management, who's a former chair of the local Farm Bureau. Nancy talking about water and Bobby talking about agriculture. So let me hand that over to Kim now, and thank you.
Just want to make sure you can hear me. Yes?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes,
yes. Okay. So I am a citizen leader in Rockingham County. We have a local citizens group who became very concerned about the issue of fracking when the first horizontal well was proposed on private land in Rockingham County. And that was an opportunity for us to learn more about the impacts to the community, both the citizens and the supervisors who would have to make the land use decision. We spent a good bit of time researching it, visited other areas where fracking is a full-blown industry, and recognized the significant impacts that the community would bear if this industry came to town. Local roads, fire and rescue, jobs would be impacted, and not necessarily always in a positive way. A lot of times the issue was that the groups that benefited financially were not necessarily the groups that paid the financial costs, for example, road repairs. And so in the process of learning about the industry, Rockingham County supervisors recognized that this would negatively impact a lot of the existing economic plans that they had for agriculture. Rockingham County is the number one agricultural county in the state of Virginia by a long shot, and agriculture is the number one industry in the state. So agriculture, tourism, recreation, all things are interconnected and complementary that would be negatively impacted by the industrialization of our rural scenic areas. And by extension, they recognize that this would be a concern if it happened in the National Forest and, in addition, would impact our local water quality and supply. So because of all those issues that they had concerns over, Rockingham County and 10 other local governments, when the opportunity came to write comments to the Forest Service, passed resolutions opposing fracking or asking for limitations or moratoriums on fracking. That local voice was a strong, I think, piece of the decision. It was cited, those 11 resolutions were cited in the record of decision as part of their decision-making process, and we are pleased that the Forest Service did listen to the local communities because this is a significant impact for our region, and we were glad that they heard our voices on this. You know, I mentioned recreation and tourism as one of the pieces that would be impacted. It's a part of the traditional way of life here, hunting, fishing, camping. And in addition, it's a place where about 1 million visitors a year come from the whole region because it is the closest national forest for many folks in the developed area. So we applaud the Forest Service for listening and for heeding the local concerns. And to talk more about the specific concerns about water, Nancy would be a great person to hear from. So, Nancy, can you tell us more about that?
Thanks, Kim. I'm Nancy Sorrells, and as Megan said, I am previously a member of the Augusta County Board of Supervisors and currently sit on the Augusta County Service Authority, which works on the public water and sewer for Augusta County. Let me just reemphasize that the George Washington National Forest was created in no small part to ensure that a sustainable supply of clean water was available for Valley communities. And that's water that currently serves almost 330,000 Shenandoah Valley residents and 4.5 million people downstream. So the management plan that was released today serves really to strengthen the bonds of partnership and public trust that were forged between the Forest Service and the local communities almost a century ago, and specifically about the protection of our drinking water. As I said, I was a member of the Board of Supervisors when we sent a letter to the Forest Service requesting that the plan contain a ban on horizontal drilling in the forest, specifically because of our concerns on the potential impacts to our water supplies. The Forest Service came to us, asked us to weigh in on the plan as a local community. We did, and thankfully they listened, and we need to thank them profusely for listening to the citizens and the leaders who are part of the communities around the National Forest. And I'm also a historian, and so I have researched this a little bit, and I understand that immediately after the formation of the National Forest, the leaders of our valley's local government looked to the forest with the hope that they had found a permanent partner in the protection of their drinking water and an assurance that with this partnership, they would have secure water needs for their families and their farms forever. And nowhere is that more evident than with the city of Stanton, a city of about 23,000 people today. Since Stanton's creation in the 18th century, its leaders were on a constant and pretty unsuccessful search to secure clean, reliable water for the town. That quest ended in the 1920s when the city deliberately located its water supply 20 miles away in the middle of the National Forest because it would be under constant government supervision. Today, the Forest Service has a sign at the base of that dam that says one of the most important products of the National Forest is water for human needs. Thus, the plan released today solidifies that public trust that has been created between Stanton, and all the city and county governments up and down the valley, between them and the National Forest that are an integral part of our communities. And so these watersheds, the headwaters of the James and the Shenandoah and the Potomac, that are a resource that supplies our drinking water, DC's drinking water, Richmond's drinking water, and ultimately winds up in the Chesapeake Bay, is incredibly important. And I'm going to turn you over to Bobby Weitzcarver, who can tell you more about how that public trust plays out on our Shenandoah Valley farms.
Thank you, Nancy. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay. This is Bobby Weitzcarver, and I do want to make a correction to Megan. Said that I was a former Farm Bureau director. That is not correct. I am the former district conservationist for the Natural Resources Conservation Service, which is an agency of the Department of Agriculture. I was the district conservationist in Augusta County for 26 years. The GW produces, as we know, much more than timber and wildlife. It produces water for millions of people and thousands of acres of farmland. And that farmland produces food, fiber, feed, and fuel for many, many people. And I think somebody already mentioned, but four of the top five producing ag counties in the Commonwealth of Virginia are in the Shenandoah Valley, Rockingham being number one, Augusta County being number two, followed by Shenandoah and Page counties. And all these farmers and farmland depend on abundant and clean water. And in saying that, we have invested millions of dollars through USDA, through the Commonwealth of Virginia, and through private organizations to help farmers implement best management practices to improve water quality. And the Chesapeake Bay Foundation recognizes that agriculture is halfway in doing its part to restore the streams here and the Chesapeake Bay. So we are very pleased with this decision that will help us keep going with making those improvements and not siphoning off water for other uses that could be very damaging. So now I'll turn it over back to Megan. Thank you.
I just want to apologize to Bobby. The plan came up out at around 5 o'clock, and sometimes we get a little muddled in our thinking. I have little to offer in terms of final thoughts and clarifications at this point, because I think these local leaders have made the case very well that the Forest Service actually paid attention to local priorities and to their original mission for this forest, and they will retain the traditional land uses on the protected and pristine lands today. So Sarah will be handling our questions right now, and I'm going to hand it right back to her.
Thanks, Megan.
One just housekeeping announcement. This is Erin from SELC. We are going to unmute all the lines to give folks a chance to ask any questions. Sarah might say a final word as we're unmuting the lines. But if you do have background noise, please make sure to silence your phones. And just when we do open it up to questions, please make sure to introduce yourself and also introduce where your outlet.
Line unmuted.
And before we take questions, just one clarification to make sure that we covered this piece in the introductory comments. There is no gas drilling on the George Washington National Forest now, and as I think Megan explained, gas development has never been a part of the local economy around the forest. Just to make sure that folks understand that this region is different from other parts of the country where there may already be gas development happening. And one point also to explain and follow up on some of the comments that Bobby made, you know, not only were we concerned that gas drilling on the forest would impact water supplies that come from the forest and the recreational uses of the forest and fish and wildlife habitat, but we know that gas development is a heavy industrial activity with a big footprint on the land, and those industrial impacts could not be confined to the forest borders. That's why we believe that this decision supports and protects the existing uses of adjacent farms and rural communities, as Bobby so well described. We'll go ahead and take questions.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yes. Oh, hi. It's Neela Banerjee from the LA Times. So I wanted to ask, Sarah, you know, media have probably gotten this press release from the American Petroleum Institute saying that the management plan will not prevent the state from pursuing reasonable energy development utilizing hydraulic fracturing and horizontal drilling on public land. So they're saying, you know, that this keeps Virginia open to energy investment. And I'm wondering how that squares with the analysis that you've given us today.
Well, Neela, as I said at the beginning, so that's a very good question. As I said at the beginning, this decision does not interfere with, it doesn't even address potential drilling on the existing gas leases or the private mineral rights to the forest. I said that about 16% of the forest is subject to private mineral rights. And because the Forest Service kept the focus of this decision on, they really focused on, is the GW an appropriate place, or should we make new areas of the GW available for industrial gas development? And because they focused on that, and we're glad that they concluded that most of the GW isn't appropriate for industrial gas development, they didn't structure the decision to focus on any particular drilling method. And I assume that's the point that API is making, in that the decision doesn't interfere with or even address drilling on those existing leases or private mineral rights. And as the Forest Service themselves, I think, said, you know, any applications for drilling on those areas would need to go through a separate, entirely separate decision-making process and environmental review.
Okay, thanks.
Can I jump in and ask a question? Steve Davies, Endangered Species and Wetlands Report. I got on the call because I'd seen something in the Washington Post this morning saying the Forest Service backed off a proposal to ban fracking, a move likely to upset conservationists. It also said the Forest Service will allow drilling on some land which is an about face from a preliminary proposal released 3 years ago. Is that inaccurate?
Steve, I'm so glad that you asked about that. So 3 years ago, the Forest Service put out a draft management plan for public comment. That draft plan proposed to prohibit horizontal drilling on the forest, but to make almost the entire forest available for vertical drilling.
Okay.
This plan, this final plan released today, takes a different approach. It focuses more on whether areas of the DW are appropriate at all for gas development rather than focusing on a particular drilling method. And so I think the remarks that you were just recapping for the group, I think, related to the change in approach. But this is a sensible proposal that concludes that most of the forest is not appropriate for industrial gas development, which we think is a good approach.
So this is actually a better decision environmentally from your perspective than the preliminary proposal they had released 3 years ago.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks.
Now, just for clarification, I think Sarah just said that the remainder of the forest is now they do ban both vertical and horizontal or any extraction. Is that correct?
Yes.
That's correct. It's just not available for leasing and drilling.
I have a question. This is Andrew Jenner with WMRA Public Radio. And maybe this, if more people want to talk about fracking, maybe you could answer this at the end. But I would be curious in hearing from you if there are other aspects of this that you think are significant in any way of the entire plan.
Andrew, that's a good question. The plan makes many important decisions. I think for purposes of this call, we need to stay focused on the gas leasing and drilling decision. But, of course, the plan makes a number of decisions related to the management of the forest and a number of important decisions that we're still reviewing the documents and understanding those aspects.
Okay.
So this is can you hear me? This is Leslie Middleton, Chesapeake Bay Journal.
Yes.
Yeah, we can.
Yes, great. I understand your desire to keep this focused on the drilling aspects that were clarified by this plan, but I wonder if you'd be willing to comment on the fact that they proposed Atlantic Coast Pipeline, which, of course, would be carrying natural gas. It has a route that would go through the forest, and specifically, presently, I believe the route goes through over Shenandoah Mountain, which I believe has been designated to be included as a wilderness area in this plan. Can you say anything about that?
Leslie, I think that the Forest Service proposal for Shenandoah Mountain is that the Forest Service would recommend a national scenic area there. I have not yet been able to look at the maps and study the relationship of the proposed scenic area to the pipeline route, and I'm afraid we just won't be able to comment on the pipeline at this time. I'm sure that that other folks will be commenting on the pipeline later today or in the next few days as we all continue to understand this better.
Thanks, Sarah.
Can I jump in? This is Jonathan Wilson with WAMU Radio.
Sure.
Wanted to see, you know, is there any concern or was there any thought that the, I guess from a legal standpoint, did the Forest Service, do you think the Forest Service had the authority to ban horizontal drilling even on land that was already privately leased, or do you think that they were, you know, just legally hamstrung and not able to ban that? Is that something that you guys would like to have seen? And are you also worried if there is horizontal drilling in the future that that could, you know, spill over into other lands, you know, underground and affect groundwater, even in the, even on the small footprint that is available right now?
Jonathan, we do have concerns about the potential for shale gas drilling and fracking anywhere on the forest. I think the Forest Service does have much more limited authority regarding those lands that already were leased or are subject to private mineral rights. And as I said, the forest plan always focused on how the Forest Service would manage or deal with the federal mineral ownership to the forest. Would the Forest Service choose to make that available or not? That's really where the decision and our attention is focused at this point.
Okay, thanks.
But, Jonathan, this is Megan Gallagher. Just to follow up, on the federal mineral ownership, there will be no leasing for oil or gas development of any sort. So that's certainly something we very much wanted to see, and we did not wade in, and the resolutions from local governments did not wade into those separate lands that are private, already leased or the mineral rights are divided.
Thank you.
This is Calvin Trice with the Newsleader. Can I ask a question?
Sure.
You said you do have some concerns about the potential drilling in the in lands that are leased already. Any particular concerns about the 10,000 acres in Highland County?
Calvin, that area in Highland County that was leased is an area known as Shaw's Fork. It's a quite remote part of the forest and rugged, and gas development there would have a significant impact on the landscape. At this point, that's really all I could say about that.
Thank you.
Hi, this is Jenna Portnoy of the Washington Post. I just had a question about something you said earlier, about 50,000 of the 53,000 comments received on the draft plan supported the restrictions as proposed. Excuse me. What changed there?
This is Megan Gallagher. Let me answer that one, because I actually read all of the comments on the draft forest plan, and it was 96% were supporting a preferred alternative. They give you multiple options in their draft forest plans. And that actually was the one that said there would be no horizontal drilling, a.k.a. fracking, on the lands with the federal, you know, where the federal energy rights were still, the lands that we're talking about today that weren't leased or separate mineral rights. And so what changed there was they don't distinguish energy extraction. They apply a prohibition, or they take out of option those lands for any energy development, the vertical, which had been left in the draft plan, and the horizontal.
I'd like to add to that for just a second. I think that the overwhelming public support, local government support, and support from other officials that the Forest Service received for the draft plan was based on the expectation that the horizontal drilling prohibition effectively would prevent shale gas drilling and fracking on the GW National Forest. Folks supported that prohibition because they believed that it would protect the forest from the whole spectrum of impacts related to gas drilling and fracking. So I believe and hope that the folks that supported that proposal will support and welcome this plan, because it takes a different approach, but it achieves a similar goal of protecting the existing uses and values on the forest that I think motivated that public support that the Forest Service received for that proposal several years ago. Do we have any final questions? It's starting to wrap up. Okay, well, thank you very much for everyone joining today. Feel free to get back in touch with us if you have additional follow-up today. I appreciate your time. And if you would like to access any additional information, we have some resources available on www.protectthegw.org, and we'll also be sending out a press release shortly, which also summarizes the decision, and there will be an audio recording of this available on Protect the GW website later today. Thanks very much, everyone. Have a great day.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.